repeat horrible things. Thus, even a born Shudra is expected to become a Brahmana. That is the meaning of human life. Everyone should improve himself. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah. According to the three modes of material nature, the work ascribed to them, four divisions of human society were created by me. Even if one is by qualification a Shudra, he must try to improve his position and become a Brahmana. No one should try to check a person, no matter what his position, present position is, from coming to the platform of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. Actually, one must come to the platform of a Vaishnava. Then he automatically becomes a Brahmana. This can be done only if the Krishna consciousness movement is present, is spread. For we are trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Vaishnava. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, abandon all other duties and simply surrender unto me. One must give up the occasional duties of Shudra, Kshatriya or Vaishnava and adopt the occupational duties of a Vaishnava, which includes the activities of a Brahmana. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Mam hi partha vipashritya, ye pi syu papayo na yaha, striyo vaishyas tata shudras, tepi yanti param gatim. A son, O son of Partha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, shudras or merchants, as well as shud vaishyas, can approach the supreme destination. Human life is specifically meant for going back home, back to Godhead. That facility should be given to everyone, whether one be a Shudra, a Vaishya, a woman or a Kshatriya. This is the purport of the Krishna consciousness movement. However, if one is satisfied to remain a Shudra, he must suffer as described in this verse, Tat evati bhi bhastitam ashnati. We'll see 24th and 25th also. Oh my God. 24th translation. If in this life a man of a higher class, Brahman, Kshatriya or Vaishya, is very fond of taking his pet dogs, mules or asses into the forest to hunt and kill animals unnecessarily, he is placed after death to the hell known as Pranarodha. There the assistants of Yamaraj make him their targets and pierce him with arrows. Purport. In the western countries especially, aristocrats keep dogs and horses to hunt animals in the forest. Whether in the west or in the east, aristocratic men in the Kali Yuga adopt the fashion of going to the forest and unnecessarily killing animals. Men of the higher classes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, should cultivate knowledge of Brahman, and they should also give the Shudras a chance to come to that platform. If instead they indulge in hunting, they are punished as described in this verse. Not only are they pierced with the arrows by the agents of Yamraj, but they are also put into the ocean of pus, urine and stool described in the previous verse. And the Shloka 25th translation goes, a person who is in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into the hell called Vishasana after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. This is the purport also. In Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Krishna says, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Prashto Vijayate. Because of his previous connection with Bhakti Yoga, man is born into a prestigious family of Brahmanas or aristocrats. Having taken such a birth, one should utilize it to perfect Bhakti Yoga. However, due to bad association, one often forgets that his prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he misuses it by performing various kinds of so-called yagyas like Kali Puja and Durga Puja, in which poor animals are sacrificed. How such a person is punished is described herein. The word Damba Yagyeshu is in this verse is significant. If one violates the Vedic injunctions while performing yagya and simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, he is punishable after death. In Calcutta, there are many slaughterhouses where animal flesh is sold that has supposedly been offered in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. The Shastra enjoins that one can sacrifice a small goat before the goddess Kali once a month. Nowhere is it said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. those who do so receive the punishments described herein. Om Agyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. For me it is the first time in my life I am sitting on this vessel. This has been somehow a place of worship for me, where I am having the audacity to sit at the place of worship. It's like a crow sitting on a place meant for a swan, a paramahansa swan. So please tolerate me for some time. And I was completely unprepared. So Prabhuji had given me date, but he also mentioned that it could be pre-pawned or post-pawned. So I thought, since yesterday the phone did call, didn't come, so I thought it is post-pawned. And I was completely unprepared, and suddenly I got a shock in the temple hall when my name was announced. So anyways, thank you so much. So I'll try to serve you somehow with whatever little knowledge, I won't say knowledge, but whatever I have heard so far from authorities and worshipable personalities, devotees, I'll try to repeat and try to serve. So all these shlokas, these what we are discussing now, they are all related to extreme torture and punishments in different hellish planetary systems. One might say, why so much of extreme torture? Can't they be little considerate and dilute that punishment or something, so much so that it can't be even heard? It's very difficult to even hear. In the villages, they sometimes it's still a tradition that when someone passes away, they read Garuda Puran, and especially that Nirnay Sindhu, where all these punishment post date, the soul is taken and all that is described. So people have seen, literally they ask the whoever is reading to stop it, because they can't bear it, they can't tolerate hearing all that extreme tortures, the Yamdutas torturing these living entities. Even Bhakti Dhir Damodar Swami Maharaj mentions incidents about that also comes during the one of the Ekadashis. I can't recall which name of that Ekadashi exactly, but one Ekadashi Mahatmya, that incident from Brahma Vaivata Puran comes, where Hema Mali, who is the order carrier of Kuvera, to be specific, he is the he has this service of collecting flowers for his worship of Lord Shiva. She was late, and the order carriers of Kuvera, they went to search for him, and they found him to be sensually engaged with his wife, and they asked, what is the reason? So you are supposed to get these flowers and all for the service of Lord Shiva, in the service of Kuvera. So there, like the degradation, that verse comes, I think it is the next verse, where to control or subdue a wife, or one has to make someone the husband normally, not normally, but once a while, makes him do this degraded activity of, something like making her drink semen just to control her. So coming in the material world, the living entity can degrade itself to such an extent, it cannot be estimated. When the Lord says, Kamesha Krodesha Rajoguna Samudbhava, Mahashano Mahapatma Vidhyena Mihe Varninam Vairinam, the wrath or the kam or the lust is the main enemy of the living entity, who always burns like fire and never gets satisfied, and he sits strategically in the mind, intelligence and senses of the living entity, where the living entity thinks that it is the friend of the living entity. Though actually it is the enemy in the guise of a friend, and the living entity thinks that it is his good friend. So seeing all these extreme tortures, one may see that we are just seeing a half picture. Therefore one may see that they have been too unfair to the living entity. Just like in the movies, Bollywood movies, you get this villain getting beaten at the end. And one may think, one who has not seen the entire picture, entire movie, entire film, might think that they are being very, very unfair and the villain is getting beaten. But one who has seen the entire movie right from the beginning, he can see that they are not very unfair. This is the fair treatment he deserves, he should get. That's what he is getting. So these are like, they are reaping their reactions, reaping the bitter fruit of their actions. So just like various seeds, in the shastras it is given, the various seeds, they take different amount of time to sprout, to fructify. Just like there are some, for example, the moong or rice, you soak overnight and immediately next day it sprouts up. But it is said that the seed of Vata Vriksha has to be under the earth for minimum 25 years to fructify. So therefore Vata Vriksha, they are so rare, so important also. So therefore at different places, different stages, they get their activities, sinful activities, they fructify and they give reactions. So for example, this Dhritarashtra, he had to wait for 55 lives to get the reaction of killing all these 100 male children or male ducklings. I think some bird, he was a hunter 55 lives before, wherein he had to burn some tree which was hollow, and in that process he happened to kill these eggs, and some ducklings were coming out of the eggs. So for that, and they were all male ducklings, you can say male children. So in order to attain all that pious credits, to be able to be the father of male children, 100 male children, he had to wait for 55 odd lifetimes, wherein which he reaped enough, accumulated enough pious credits and became the father of 100 male children. And the reaction then came that he had to, see with his own eyes all his children being killed. So His Gracious Shastakam Prabhu once was saying about, he was his ex-Air Force, so in the Air Force or government services, when a person goes to leave, on leave, he is kind of on duty still. If something goes wrong, something happens to him, the government is bound to take care of him. So even though he is off duty, he is still on duty, he can get the perks and benefits of being on duty. So he was mentioning about the incident of one of his colleagues who was coming back from his village after his leave, and some unfortunate incident happened, that the train by which he was traveling got derailed out of the track, and there was an accident and so many people were killed actually in that also, and so many people got injured. So he had this wicked idea of he thought that I can take the opportunity of these incidents and declare myself dead. in this incident, because they get so many benefits. If a government servant on duty gets killed, then he gets so much of, in terms of monetary benefits, so much of money and benefits. So he did that. Immediately he kind of defaced that person with, you know, some kind of object. He smashed his face so that it doesn't get identified. And he put his identity card, the Air Force identity card, in his pocket somewhere. And he went back to his village and mentioned all the family members that this is what I'm doing, I have done, and this is what is going to happen. They are going to come to inquire, and you say that yes, you confirm that I'm dead. Yeah? Then we can enjoy, because we are going to get so much of benefit in that, so much of money. So yeah, lo and behold, his plan worked very well. And the family members, they were invited, they took possession of that so-called their son, dead son, and they, you know, do these funeral rites and everything. And they got so much of money, and they were enjoying in their villages. And one fine day, you know, when some terrorist entered into that village, and they had to check each and every person, each and every person in the village, each and every family member of each and every family in that village were called by the police to identify with so detailed, so much detail they were taking, even fingerprints, the retina, everything. And by that time, this was after 9 years, so by that time everybody, including this person, was, you know, they forgot, had forgotten completely about the incident. And very innocently he revealed, you know, completely disregarding what had happened, he has done because of the forgetfulness. He said, yeah, he innocently told his name, I am this, and then they checked their records. They said, wait a minute, this guy is supposed to be dead 9 years back. How come suddenly he is, you know, showing up as the same person here? So then they inquired, the police contacted the military police who investigated the case 9 years back. And he was immediately caught red-handed and taken back into the jail, and he was put behind the bars. So scriptures, they gave example that just like cow and the calf of a cow. The calf of a cow is so expert in identifying its mother that even if there are 5,000 similar looking cows are there, same characteristics, same color, same horns, everything same, we would definitely make mistakes. But the calf of a cow is so expert that if you release him, immediately it goes to the same, his own, its own mother. Never, you know. On the other hand, if you see the calf of a buffalo, it is not able to discriminate between a he buffalo and a she buffalo. Sometimes it goes to the he buffalo also. But on the other hand, the calf of a cow is so expert. So the example is given, just like the calf of a cow never makes any mistake in finding its mother, similarly the karma of a living entity doesn't make any mistake in finding out the living entity. Whichever yoni, whichever species, whichever birth, whichever planet he has taken birth, it never fails to go and attack. Same. So it's just a matter of time. Sometimes you get immediate reaction. This case, the reaction came after 9 years. So you might get immediate reaction also. He also quotes another example where they go for fishing, and there's a captain and his team, and this is in America, he was saying, they went somewhere deep inside unusually, and they came across some certain specific, very special kind of fish, and they caught a lot of them, and they stored inside, there's a storage kind of pit in the boat. So but then these particular kind of piranhas, you know, they attack human beings also. So they started emanating some kind of funny smell. Funny means deadly, very poisonous smell. And then one sailor went and kind of checked. So the moment he opened that door, he immediately dropped dead there only, because of the intensity of that poisonous smoke was so much. Similarly dropped dead. Then the second fellow went, and he also similarly dropped dead. The third, fourth, the entire team of sailors dropped dead there only. And then the captain, it was turn of the captain, he also sensed there is some kind of misery, some kind of problem is there. So there was only one assistant and this captain left. So he went there and checked, and then he sensed there is so many people dead there, and the intensity, the impact of that was so much that the smell kind of traveled all throughout and went into the cockpit or whatever they call, where the pilot is there. He's moving around, maneuvering the ship. And because of the poisonous effect, the steering wheel got stuck in some rotational angle. And the entire ship was completely rotating in one direction only, one circle. So the captain went out and thought, there is no escape now. Because we stay back, we'll get killed by this poisonous smell. And if we stay in the cockpit there, the ship is revolving in a circular manner. So either way, we'll be doomed. So he thought of jumping out. So both of them, they jumped. And the moment they jumped, that's where was the place where all these piranha kind of fishes were there. And they immediately attacked and they ate him alive. The assistant was saved, but the main captain was killed like that. So the reaction came immediately. Sometimes it takes time, depends upon what kind of activity we are doing. So all these... all these incidences we hear, I mean, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are nothing but the fair treatment given to the rebellious living entities who want to enjoy indiscriminately against the will of the Lord. And they get these reactions. So in order to enjoy in this material world, so we are seeing the degradation of the propensity to enjoy. Krishna says, these kind of souls, these kind of living entities are in the 16th chapter. I put them, you know, every birth after birth into lower and lower statuses of life based on the mode of ignorance and passion. So we can see that of the degradation of the propensity to enjoy in this material world. So basically, to enjoy in this material world, we need to be illusion. So Lord Brahma, as Sukhava Mataji, that they were saying rightly, that first thing which Lord Brahma created in this material world is self-deception. So without self-deception, a living entity cannot enjoy or can't get attached to the things in material world. So to be illusion, like one Suhatra Maharaj, Isolini Suhatra Maharaj was giving example, that in order to enjoy in this material world, you need darkness or illusion, which is nothing but darkness. So he was giving the example of a cinema theater. To be able to enjoy a cinema, a film, there has to be darkness. Therefore, cinema hall is completely closed. If there is a light, you can't enjoy the cinema actually. What is going on? You can't even see anything. What to speak of enjoying? So the only thing a soul can do is to only desire, Prabhupada says, and Krishna arranges everything according to his desires. So when the desires are separate from, you know, other than serving Krishna, then they can degrade, and in material world always everything degrades. It's not that in order to be purify, you know, oneself, or to stay where you are, it's like in the material world, swimming against the current. To maintain purity of pure desires, one has to struggle so much just to stay where you are, what to speak of making progress. So therefore, a living entity can only desire and Krishna arranges. So we need to change our desires, Prabhupada says. And also, when Krishna comes and performs his pastimes, to attract us so that we can change our desires. So everything depends upon a desire. A living entity can be Krishna conscious, or he can be averse to Krishna consciousness only if he desires. So what he desires, Krishna Prabhupada says, we can be Krishna conscious if we desire. So we should see how Prabhupada says, now nicely we are making progress in our spiritual life. Or Are we still running after the subtle sex life of name, fame, power and respect? So verse number 25 describes about, you know, name, fame and power or respect in this material world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati calls it Pratishta as the Shukrir Vishta, the stool of a she-boar, which is especially nasty. So therefore, sometimes they, it is this, the verse describes that for prestige, for false prestige only, they indulge in so much of sinful activities. For example, in functions we see in marriages, there's a trend in our caste or religion. There's a trend of in the marriages or any function for that matter, to have liquor and lot of meat. So for that they indiscriminately kill so many animals. So there's one relative of ours who is a government officer, not very highly ranked posted government officer, but on average. But his income was very disproportionate, you know, so many accumulations. And when his daughter's marriage was there, he wanted to show off his prestige or how much powerful he is materially, financially. So he had taken, ordered some 4 truckloads of meat, an equal number of liquor, just to show how much powerful, how much I can do, you know, how much people call, think I'm popular or powerful, just for the name sake. So we have this similar example of Shabari, when similar kind of situation had arisen, when her marriage was proposed and she was a Bhilla kind of caste, where they have these shepherds kind of community. They have these goats and sheep and all. And it was a tradition in marriages that they are normally killed. So she looked at them, all these innocent animals, and had so much of compassion, and kind of ran away and in search of security, where she can escape this kind of situation where she'll be responsible for killing so many animals. And in that process, she got her spiritual master Matangamani, and she got so much of benefit. That is besides the points. But this tradition is there of just to show name and fame, people indiscriminately kill animals, and they think it is a very good thing. It's a big name, you know, good thing to do as an acharya. They want to establish themselves as acharyas. So we have this, there is one more example I would like to mention, that there was this, even in religious functions or say charities, there was this person who, one family who had donated fans in a temple, and they wanted the temple authorities to ensure that their names are been prominently kept on the fans, written very prominently, and the fans are placed in a prominent place where it is very, very clearly visible to people in general, public. And they also are requesting the temple authority, don't run this fan too much, you know, sometimes you rest, you know, switch it off so that our name, family's name can be visible. So they don't spare religious places also. Just for the name's sake, yeah. This is actually recent, a few years back it happened. And His Grace Damodar Pandit Prabhu was mentioning this once to me. So on the other hand, we have a vivid example of Goswamis, especially Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Jeev Goswami. I would like to mention Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jeev Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami is Guna Manjari and Jeev Goswami is Vilas Manjari in our Sampradaya. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami had this opportunity that he could have given his name, you know, in the scriptures, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was seeking blessings of all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan before writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was moving around in Vrindavan and taking all their blessings. So he came to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami said, I can give all the details of childhood, you know, what I saw, he is the one who, amongst the Goswamis, got the maximum association of Lord Chaitanya, where during the 4 months of Chaturmasya, in his house, father's house, Venkat Bhatta's house, Lord Chaitanya stayed in his South India Yatra. And he got to see Lord Chaitanya for 4 months, got to serve him also. And so he knew so much. All these description of his pastimes are there in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. But nowhere Gopal Bhatta Goswami's name is mentioned, because he had requested him that I can give all these details of Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes only on one condition. My name should never be mentioned anywhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you'll see never Gopal Bhatta Goswami's name. And we'll see Jeev Goswami also. When I would vividly like to tell this. Do you have time? Yeah, we have time. So this OBL Kapoor means Adi Keshav Prabhu, who is the disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. We have his reference that he had mentioned this incident in his research on scriptures about Vallabhacharya visiting Rup Goswami when he was writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rup Goswami had requested him to kindly edit, you know, and see if it is all right, all these scriptures, you know, from the point of view of grammar and all. So especially the verse which comes about Bhakti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pishachi Ridhi Vartate Tavat Bhakti Sukhasyatra Katham Abhudeva Bhavit, means the desire, material desires, means Bhakti Mukti and Spriha. Basically all these material desires, Bhakti, material enjoyment, and Mukti, liberation, when they enter into the heart of a sadhaka, a bhakta, they are like pishachi. So he was kind of not very comfortable with the word pishachi. Why you have used this word pishachi? Because for liberation. Liberation is such a fair thing. It's okay to desire liberation. You know, so many, we have battalions of Mayavadis or whoever, impersonalists, they are so much after liberation. So for liberation, others, we might, you know, see liberation as a very common word here, but and not so much importance is given. But in other sampradayas, they are like very highly held thing, liberation. So he said, what is wrong in this, you know, calling pisha, mukti, liberation, pishachi? Shouldn't be, can't he use such a, you know, small, some diluted word? Why Pishachi is kind of a ghostly living entity? So Rup Goswami is very humble. He said, yeah, sure. I mean, whatever you are saying, replace it. We'll replace it immediately. So he also suggested some, you know, Vyapnotri Idem Avat Bhakti Mukti Spriya Griha. You know, diluted, no Pishachi word. So he said, okay, we'll immediately include it. But then Jeev Goswami, who was sitting next to him, he immediately went back to him and tapped him, said, you know, actually what my spiritual master, out of humility only, said, he accepted. But you know what, actually it makes very much sense. Pishachi word, you know, first thing you should know that he is not calling desire, the liberation, Pishachi. He is calling the desire to have liberation, Pishachi. So, desire to have liberation is like actually Pishachi. Means, what happens when a Pishachi is attacked, you know, Pishachi attacks a person, he sucks the juice of bhakti, first thing, then agitates the mind and puts him in anxiety. The person's mind gets agitated, he gets in anxiety, and the bhakti rasa is completely sucked, dried. So, recently we had the opportunity to attend the course on Chakra Yoga, where our God Brother Janava Sundari Mataji was teaching us about, you know, there are 7 chakras in our body, in which every particular chakra is related to one section of a body. So if you balance the chakras, then all those organs related to that particular chakra, they automatically get all right. So for example, the lower chakras, the lowest chakra, Muladhar chakra, is at the as the base of your body. When I'm sitting here, right at the base is the Muladhar chakra, first chakra, and all the organs connected to that is they are like on this particular belt, the lower back, the buttocks, the groins, the private parts, and thighs to the feet. They are connected to first and second chakra. They are next to each other. So if you address and balance it, all these organs, the pains, the chronic ailments in them, you might have carried them for years together, they all get automatically healed. So I was sent by the authorities to the for the course, and I was very reluctant and kind of thinking, okay, this is one more training out of the many ones that I keep on attending, so let me give it a try. Wasn't very interested, I'm just sitting for the sake of it. And then I had my kundali, where checked from someone very expert from South India, very prominent guy. He said, you will have blood related problems after 40, and your right knee will have problem, but this is your karma and you'll have to live with it. There is no solution. So sure enough, after 40, at the age of 42, 43, I got this high blood sugar. I could connect. And exactly at that time, my right knee started having problem. I couldn't sit like this cross-legged and all. Maximum for lunch or dinner, meals, I would sit for 10 minutes. That was the time. And I thought, probably this is the hallmark, that if this goes away, they are fixing my chakras. If this pain goes away, then I'll take it very seriously. And then Mataji, you know, she is very empowered actually. Our Guru Maharaj, Hiruvindra Sadhana Swami Maharaj, goes and visits her to Italy, and you know, he also guides her. And so she fixed our chakra, and we were first and second chakra. Second day, by the end of second day, both the chakras, first and second, were fixed. And I came home and I was sitting and eating my prasad, and then also reading and discussing and hearing some lecture, and it was almost 2.5 to 3 hours we were discussing. Also some children came, my wife immediately noticed that, hey, you are sitting for so long, how is it possible? I mean, you okay? There's no pain in the knee? And suddenly I realized, yeah, exactly, my God, I didn't even realize. This is the second day. She has just fixed our chakras and all the ailment. You can see I'm sitting like this cross-legged. I couldn't sit like this. And I was like, oh, she was doing like this, you know, something like this, anti-clockwise, she was rotating. But the effect was so powerful. Without any medicine, the ailment went, which was there in my, supposed to be in my karma, and no medicine was supposed to cure it. So the point I'm making here is, she was saying that, you know, how these higher living or the ghostly living entities, they torture you. How? He took some names of some acharyas. I can't take the names on in a public forum like this. But one particular spiritual master, supposed to be a guru, she took the name and said, that particular person is a vivid example of how a guru, their shishya bhogi, they suck their energy. Just like she gave example of a juice. For example, you want to drink a juice, for sugarcane juice, and you are sitting and also talking next to a friend who is sitting next to you. And the person is serving you juice and you're talking, and then looking at your glass, you're surprised that it is empty. Then again someone comes, he comes and fills. You say, okay, 10 rupees more and give me some, 20 rupees more, give me some more. Second serving, and you start talking, and you realize again it is empty. Then you say, all right, what is happening? Oh, one more time. Third serving, and you start talking, but not drinking. And again you see it is empty. So you're saying, this is what happens. The higher living entities, or the invisible living entities, those who have no, you can say pishachi in this case, no gross body, but they have, just like someone is having a straw, but a longer straw, who is sitting next to a table, but he has a longer straw, long enough to, you know, poke into your in your glass and suck, sitting there sucking your energy. So what all these ghostly living entities, they have, pishachis, they have no material, the gross body, but subtle body with the ability to suck, put a straw in your body and suck out the accumulated energy. And this is how they survive. They need, every living entity needs energy to survive, and they suck this energy so that they can survive. So the description of Pishachi comes here when it says it sucks the juice of bhakti rasa from the heart of a sadhaka. He becomes immediately dry. That is the first symptom. He is haunted by Pishachi. Second, agitates mind and he is in anxiety. So Jiva Goswami said, can't you think that this is right, because the punch, you know, the word Pishachi is giving, the same punch, you know, the same punch can't have been derived by any other word in this particular verse, you know. So it's that, like that. So he said, yeah, you're right actually. He said, very intelligent person. So he appreciated him very much, went to take his bath, and while coming back, he was thinking all the time, how intelligent is this particular young man, Jiva Goswami is. So he went back, he couldn't resist himself coming back and reporting to Rupa Goswami that who is that young chap sitting next to you? He's saying, is Jiva my nephew? What happened? Why are you asking so interestingly about him? So he have said this, so many things happened. So he called him immediately, and just to correct him, beginning of Sampradaya Acharya, and Jiva Goswami would be a vivid example of humility and tolerance. That he said, you are not fit to remain in Braja because you are affected by false prestige and also by anger. How can you get so much angry at him, someone like such a senior personality like Vallabhacharya? He just out of compassion he's come and he's kind of intensifying my work, you know, my literatures. So he's suggesting something. I accepted, you are like having audacity to, you know, go beyond me. So you are not fit to stay in Braja. You should go out immediately. You are banished right at this moment. So he went out, and we know the history. He was emaciated completely. He was fasting, and Sanatan Goswami came to know. And he kind of had compassion on him and came back to see Rupa Goswami and said, what about your work, that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? How long is it been going on? And you're talking about Jivdaya, Vaishnava Seva and Namruchi. So why don't you have Jivdaya, Daya on this Jiva also? So then he kind of realized, Rupa Goswami realized and brought him back. And so the point here is his humility, being a Sampradaya Acharya. He also had that opportunity. Here we are talking about the name, the desire to have prestige and name, where we, you know, it's completely kind of absolutely absent in these Goswamis, where he, at the same time, they're having so much of humility. Then this Rupa Narayan also, when he came, he was giving all these Vijay Patra to sign to all the Acharyas of Vrindavan. And every Acharya, all those not interested in arguing, or some of them were quite fearful also him, they were voluntarily signing. And when they came to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they also voluntarily signed because they didn't want to waste their time, you know, arguing and defeating or something, because it was just, they were not at all, no trace of being after name and fame. So, but then again, this time when he came to Jiva Goswami because he thought he is also quite a splendid personality, very young but very, very famous and very well respected in the circle of scholars. So he said, I have to take Vijay Patra from him also, otherwise my being Digvijay Pandit wouldn't be complete. So he went, he came to him also, and prima facie, Jiva Goswami said, yeah, yeah, sure. He was also not so much after, you know, argument and all. So he also kind of about to write. But then he happened to say, yeah, you know what, your nephews, your uncles, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, I have this Vijay Patra signed by them also. So when he heard their names and said, they have signed. So again, the earlier kind of thing, the respect for the acharyas, their spiritual masters, immediately came out. He himself was so much detached, no trace of name, fame. When the opportunity was there, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was also, you know, asking, seeking his blessings, so he also said that my name shouldn't be there, just like Gopal Bhattu Goswami. But when the prestige of their spiritual masters came, he was like completely defeated him within few, you know, some time. And but again, Rup Goswami came to know these incidents also. He was again having been no fault, you know, so innocent, you know, kind of unfair deal, unfair treatment, but he completely tolerated that. He was ready to tolerate everything, you know, on the expense of anything what you say. So, and but when the question came of prestige of the sampradaya or his spiritual master, he was like very intolerant, or where he kind of re-established their positions. So we see the material desire in this material world. I think we have time. What is the time now? We still have time now. Okay. 5 more minutes we have. Okay. So we can... I was just trying to connect when, you know, the verse came that for the name's sake only, Bhagavatam says that people don't mind killing animals just to show their prestige in this material world. And we see our Sampradaya Acharyas, when they had the opportunity, they knew that these scriptures are going to be there for 10,000 odd years, for eternal time to come. And if some other person was there in their place, they could have thought that I, or Gopal Bhattu Goswami, I am the one who was there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seen, I witnessed. You know, in case of Jiva Goswami, only got to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once only, when he was in the lap of his mother in Ramkeli, when Lord Chaitanya visited Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and his father Anupam. But in case of Gopal Bhattu Goswami, he got at a stage 4 months association. So he could have thought, I know I have substance, so I have the right to, you know, be there. My name should be there, you know. So it's a contrast I wanted to connect. I don't know, with insignificant capacity of mine, this is the first time I have been sitting here. And thank you for giving me opportunity. But as I said, this is the place I worshipped, and I had the audacity to sit at the place of Paramahamsas being a crow. So please forgive my offenses and accept this as a humble service. Thank you. Hare Krishna. If there's any question, I'll try to divert it to someone else, because I won't be able to answer. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? I think we'll stop here. Thank you for tolerating me. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.